There's a sutta where the Buddha talks about one of his previous lifetimes when he was a king. He ruled until he saw his first gray hair. Then he handed the kingdom over to his son, went off and lived in the forest, and spent the whole rest of his life devoted to practicing the Brahmaviharas, developing thoughts of unlimited goodwill for himself and all beings, unlimited compassion, unlimited empathetic joy, unlimited equanimity. But then, as he commented at the end of the story, that practice didn't lead to awakening, didn't lead to dispassion. It simply led to a really nice rebirth as a Brahma. There's another passage in the canon where Sariputta is going to teach one of his old students who's on his deathbed. And the old student is a Brahmin. So Sariputta figures, well, Brahmins want to go to the Brahma world. So he taught him the Brahmaviharas. The man died and was reborn in a Brahma world. Sariputta goes back and tells the Buddha what had happened. The Buddha said, you know, you could have taken him further. Rebirth in a Brahma world is an inferior place. Of course, it's superior to being a human being, but it's still inferior to the goal, which is total awakening. The point of both of these passages is that the Brahmaviharas are not a complete path. They can't take you to awakening on their own. Now, they do have a function in the practice. When the Buddha taught breath meditation to his son, he taught him a series of preliminary practices to get the mind ready, and one of them was the Brahmaviharas. After all, you're meditating. You should be doing it based on goodwill. Goodwill for yourself, goodwill for other beings. Goodwill is not love. There's another word for love in Pali, it's bhema. Goodwill is metta. Metta is a wish for happiness. And the reason we're practicing is we want a genuine happiness, a happiness also that doesn't harm anybody. We want the happiness to spread around. And so you want to get that attitude firmly in place, that you really do want to be happy. Because you're going to be dealing with lots of different committee members in your mind, and some of them are self-destructive. Some of them are going to sabotage what you're trying to do. You have to keep reminding yourself, you do really want to be happy. You don't want to be miserable just to show other people that they mistreated you. You want to take your life in your hands and say, I can make something good out of this. And you do that by training the mind. So goodwill is a preliminary practice for getting the mind into concentration when you use the breath. There are also passages where the Buddha talks about it as a topic of concentration in and of itself. He doesn't say how you do it. You just simply develop a thought, may all these beings look after themselves with ease. An interesting way of expressing goodwill. Not saying, I'm going to be there to help you. It says, may you be able to look after yourself. May you be able to help yourself. Because when you think about it, that's what beings all want deep down inside. That they have the ability within themselves to look after themselves, to be happy. Here again, you want to use this as a motivation for your practice. But you can think about how you have no ill will for anybody in the world. If you do have ill will for somebody, you want to see them suffer, just stop and think about it. What would you gain from their suffering? What would you gain from your own suffering? Very little. There's a peculiar pleasure sometimes that comes from suffering or seeing somebody else suffer. But it's not good for you in the long term. It's like those kinds of foods that may have a taste that you like for a little while, but then it gets sickening. And also think about, what does goodwill mean? In light of the principle of karma, it means that you're going to act in ways that lead to true happiness. Other people will act in ways that lead to true happiness. If we get the whole world to do that, the world will be a much better place. A lot of people don't know the ways to true happiness, or sometimes they may know, but they don't care. And so what you're saying is, may you know and may you care, and may you act on those causes for true happiness. Wish this for yourself, wish this for others. What's difficult about that? A lot of times we don't like the idea of goodwill because we think it means, may you be happy just as you are, but that's not what it's saying. It may require that you change your actions or other people change their actions in a good direction, which is all to the good. And some people find that they can get the mind into concentration this way. As for other people, as in the instructions to Rahula, the Buddha's son, once you spread thoughts of goodwill in all directions, then you focus on the breath. Because we're here both to gain concentration and the sense of well-being that comes from the concentration, and we want to use that concentration to give rise to more mindfulness, alertness, and give rise to discernment. And that's the part that's missing in the Brahmaviharas, is the discernment. The breath meditation actually helps in that direction, because when the Buddha gives instructions, he starts out by having you notice your long breathing, notice your short breathing, then try to breathe in a way that you're sensitive to the whole body. Now you may have to work up to this section by section, start with one area of the body, get to know how the breath feels there, and then make it comfortable. That's the next step, what the Buddha calls calm bodily fabrication. As you breathe in, as you breathe out, what this means is you calm the breath. Now, before the breath can go calm, first you have to nourish yourself well with breath energy. Breathe in a way we feel that the energy fills the whole body, and then allow it to calm down. And then you begin to notice, why does the Buddha use the word fabrication there? Well, fabrication is the key to getting insight, to see how you put your experience together. This is if your past karma gives you the raw material, and then from that raw material you shape things with your breath. And then with the way you talk to yourself, the breath is called bodily fabrication. The way you talk to yourself, technically that's directed thought and evaluation, that's called verbal fabrication. And then there's mental fabrication, feelings and perceptions. These are the activities by which we put things together in the present moment. And the way the Buddha teaches breath meditation is to get you sensitive to the fact that you're putting these things together. You try to calm, first you develop good mental fabrications, and then you calm them down. And the instructions for breath meditation themselves are kind of verbal fabrication, telling you what to do. So in being sensitive to the calming, you're getting the mind to settle down. Being sensitive to the fabrication is giving you a basis for insight. What kind of job are you doing as you put your experience together? Right now you want to do a good job. Talk to yourself about the breath. Ask yourself what kind of breath would be comfortable, what kind of breath would not be comfortable. How can you breathe in ways that feel satisfying? What would be satisfying right now? What does the body need right now? When the breath feels satisfying, how do you keep it satisfying? And how do you spread it around? As the Buddha says in his instructions for getting the mind into deeper concentration, you want to take any sense of ease or fullness or refreshment and let it fill the whole body, let the whole body get saturated. How do you do that? And John Lee gives some pointers. He says, think of the breath energy flowing through the blood vessels, flowing through the nerves, out to the pores of the skin. As you breathe in, you're suffused by breath. And that's a good perception to hold in mind. That would be a mental fabrication. And then you've got that feeling of well-being saturating the body. All the different kinds of fabrication are right here. And as we meditate, we're learning how to do them well. And then we realize we're doing this not only as we meditate, but as we go through the day. We're talking to ourselves, we're holding certain perceptions in mind. We're breathing in certain ways. And sometimes we put these things together well, and sometimes not. And so you want to take this sensitivity to fabrication and start using it in other areas as well, to get past a lot of your unskillful mental states and unskillful emotions. This is a useful analysis for dealing with addiction. You can hold in mind the perception that your mind is not just one mind, it's like a committee. Sometimes the committee is like the Chicago City Council. It's got lots of politics. Lots of deals are being made in the back rooms. But the fact that an idea has appeared to the committee doesn't mean that you have to go along with the whole committee. And if the committee is putting things together in a certain way, you can ask yourself, well, how am I breathing? What's the conversation inside? What are the perceptions they're holding? If that particular mental state or physical state is not heading in a good direction, take it apart. Put something else together using those kinds of fabrication. And it's important that you get the breath on your side. Because one way that an unskillful mind state takes over is that it seizes your breath. Anger comes in, fear comes in, and you're going to start breathing in uncomfortable ways. And if you've got to get it out of your system. And all too often we do very unskillful things to get these things out of our system. And then we're stuck with the karma. So what you've got to do is seize the breath back. Tell yourself that no matter what's going on in the mind, I can still breathe calmly. I can still breathe in a way that feels like it's filling the body with a good energy. That puts you more in a position of strength, where you can look more calmly at the way the mind is putting things together. And see what strange perceptions have taken over. So this kind of analysis here helps get you past a lot of unskillful things. And you learn it by doing the breath meditation with an eye to seeing how you put things together with your breath, your internal conversation, your perceptions and feelings. That's something you can't learn from the Brahmaviharas. You can apply that analysis to the Brahmaviharas, but the Brahmaviharas on their own, just sitting there wishing thoughts of goodwill, whatever, are not going to accomplish that task, which is why the Brahmaviharas are not a complete practice. They're useful in some ways, but there's a lot more is needed to really get the mind under control and to find a happiness that's more than just a fabricated happiness. You want to find something that's unfabricated inside. And you're going to learn that, or achieve that, first by understanding these processes of fabrication. If you don't understand them, you can't get past them. So we practice because we have goodwill for ourselves and for other beings. But goodwill is just a start. We want to learn how to understand what's going on in the mind. And that can take us a lot farther.